Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Merkel Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a Swangles
in I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, Vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate it. Subscribe to the show, rate the show, write a little review if you like it. Share. Also, that helps. God knows we're not going to get any help from the algorithms. Hey, the sponsors, we appreciate them so much. Legal Shield's been in business for half a century in Canada and the United States, and they'll get you access to an attorney for $1 a day. It's pretty damn good. And you can get all kinds of things done with this attorney that you've got. You can have them draft your last will and testament, which you got to have. Financial power of attorney, medical directive, all these things that as an adult, you kind of need to have it. You got to put it in your, you know, get this done, put it in your safe. But nobody wants to spend a couple $1,000s to knock all this out. But I've got an option for you. Legal Shield. It's $30 a month. You can get access to an attorney. Just do this in the first month. I mean, why? Why not? Like it'll pay itself off for the next 10 years. So go take a look. I'll tell you what, go to the website, see what you think. Don'tgetpushedaround.com is the domain. And you can see what a Legal Shield membership gets you. There's also a la carte items that you can add on to that as well, like a small business plan. Or if you're somebody that carries a gun, they have documentation for that. So go to the website, check it out. Don'tgetpushedaround.com. Also, thanks to EMP Shield. I hope you don't need it, but man, if you do, it's good to know that there's a device out there that can protect you from EMPs, solar flares, lightning strikes, all that good stuff. EMP Shield is the place to go to read up on it first, I would say. Just take a look, see what you think. If you find something you like, use the promo code MACRO because that'll save you a bunch of money. You can get this put on your home, on your car, in your motorhome, if you have a boat, a generator, whatever. They've got bundle packages. You can install it yourself. Just four wires. It installs like a type 2 surge protector, or you can have an electrician come out there. There's installation videos on their website. You can find it on YouTube or wherever. But take a look, man. EMPShield.com is the place to go. And if you use the promo code MACRO, you'll save yourself a little bit of money. Well, this episode is going to be a lot of fun because I love talking about media propaganda. And I've got my friend Chris Yannick from Rained Out Rantcast here. Also, you've been AM wake up pretty consistently the last month or so. So it's good to see you, man. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Well, when we talk propaganda, you know, I mean, you and Corey Hughes are my guys for that. You know, you talk about like the lies and whatnot. And we were having, you know, we were talking about this on, you came on day zero and the topic of propaganda came up in the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012. And it reminded me, it's like, well, it's been like, it got passed into law in 2013 with the National Defense Authorization Act. It's a full decade of propaganda. I always think back on that Motley Crue greatest hits album, A Decade of Decadence, right? This is like a decade of bullshit from the federal government to you. Smith-Mundt Modernization Act legalizes propaganda in America to be used on Americans. Isn't that nice of them? What a bunch of fucking assholes.
That was pushed forth by the Obama administration.
I thought his only flaw was that he wore a tan suit to a press conference once. I was told that he was a perfect president. He certainly didn't take away your right to not get lied to by the media. That would be crazy, right?
That was the paddleboard. I heard that. Yeah. The Smith-Mundt Act in the last 10 years of, I mean, I guess something Steve pointed out, you know, when they signed this and this came into is when they really started pumping these war hawks from the government into CNN, MSNBC.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, what's his face now? Now I just drew a blank on him. The stratosphere, John Brennan. Mm. I mean, going into his job, these guys going from pharmaceutical into government, vice versa. I mean, these are things that they've been doing for a decade at least, and longer. And in the last, I mean, I guess 2016 is when it was cranked to 11, if you will. Yeah. I mean, that's when they really cranked it. And then with COVID coming in, and now they're pushing it again. They're rolling the same thing out again with COVID.
I'd love to say
propaganda, the same bullshit.
I'd love to say we're not going to fall for that same trick twice, but I know a large percentage of the population will fall for that trick twice.
Yeah. With this, I'm wondering if they're going to go ahead with the anal swabbing.
Should.
That's, I mean, just, because they say that the anal swabbing is what the most accurate, quickest way to tell if you got COVID. And they were supposedly trying to do it in China. So I could see that's when this time they're going to make everybody bend over. And it's scary because there's a large population, part of the population that will do this. That will, I mean, like, yeah. There's still people wearing masks. There's still people pushing the same narrative. There's still people like, and they're not even in the government. I live in Northwest Arkansas, right? I'm in a southern state, right? But it is Walmart country here. And I still see people out in public wearing masks.
Yeah.
On, you know, walking trails, wearing masks. So, I mean, the propaganda and this mass psyop it's working on some, and it's sad.
You know? It is sad.
It's a sad state.
I would, you know, I feel bad for some of those people, the people that are passive, the people that just don't know any better, that get bombarded with this fear and it breaks their brains and they get into that Yuri Bezmenov stage of demoralization where you can shower them with correct information. It won't change their mind. I feel bad for them as long as they weren't the ones that were being really vocal towards us. Like, how dare you? You're going to kill grandma and all those, you know, those people can fuck off. But the people that just don't, they don't know any better. They're just kind of dumb, or they don't know the game. If you don't understand the game, I get it, man. It's not explained. It doesn't come with rules. And if you turn on your TV and you assume that those people on the news are telling you the truth, you maybe just haven't been watching the news as carefully as you should, because you could find out pretty quickly that they have a lousy track record of lying to you constantly. And not just about little things like whether or not it's going to be 74 tomorrow or 78. No, like they lie to you about things that will kill you. So they tell you that this is safe and that's dangerous. And then when it's totally backwards. So like, if your relationship with the media is like, well, I'm just going to give them the benefit of the doubt. My question is, why? Why would you ever do that? Like, what do you have to see after the last 3 years? Like, what are you waiting for? You know?
Yeah. And the visceral response from some of these people when you try to enlighten them, so to speak, on what's going on. There's a visceral like response to the whole thing. And it's been wild to see, especially the last 3.5, you know, going on 4 years with COVID, because now we find out that they have qualified immunity. They have sovereign immunity. The FDA, the CDC, these letter ABC or alphabet agencies, that they can say and do whatever they want without any accountability. And that qualified immunity, which Dr. Shiva, we had him on AM Wake Up. I seen you had him on.
Recently. Yeah, he's coming on. Yeah.
That qualified immunity was for civil servants, for police and stuff, and firefighters. And now it's carried over into government officials, all the way into the FDA, the CDC. I mean, and I wonder how far it goes into these influencers. Does it go into these influencers? Because these influencers, like Harry, whatever the fucking name is. Yeah, that kid.
That twink that's about to get pounded.
Where the hell did this kid come from? You know, I mean, he's probably some AI thing.
Came from Bohemian Grove, back room.
He makes these, he's a homunculus. he's being paid by the government. So, yep. I mean, does someone like him, does these qualified immunities carry all the way down? Because with the Smith-Munn revision, I mean, is this how they're wrapping it all up to be able to do this type of stuff, to have these qualified, these sovereign immunities, that lawyer said, the FDA's lawyer said sovereign immunity. And it's like, this should enrage people.
Yeah.
This should enrage people that they can say what they want. They can put the propaganda on TV how they want. They can ban people. They can silence us. They can do whatever they want to us. And there's no accountability to that. We get strikes. We get demonetized. We lose our channels. You know, there's how many of us, if we did pay for Twitter, we can't get the monetization. We can't get the creator stuff. Why? Because we posted the Hunter Biden 100% true article that everybody had to take down because we all got blocked there on Twitter. Yeah. And these guys get qualified immunity. They get sovereign immunity, which I don't even know how that even makes that those two words together make sense. But qualified immunity. Yeah, I guess. I mean, they qualify for, I mean, they are the only ones who get any immunity out of any of the shit that they scream about immunity.
It's perfect, though, because they act like people that have immunity. They act like people that think they're above the law. They believe that they are better than everybody else, whether that's the politicians or some asshole on Fox News or whatever. They think they despise. I used to always think it was kind of a myth when I lived in LA that they would talk about these flyover states and how people don't care. Now I live in Colorado. Now I live in one of the flyover states. It's true. They don't give a shit about anybody that's not in the major cities, especially on the West Coast and East Coast. So they have no respect for us. So why would they consider themselves to be held to any of these laws? These laws are for the peons, for the poors, for the middle America people that vote Republican and like Donald Trump. You know, like that's we make the rules. I'm not going to prison. I'm not going to prison for lie, you know, for propaganda. But I'm not surprised. Sovereign immunity, sovereign, like as in you're the fucking king. Get out of here.
Yeah, and that's like this across the board thing that these guys have. And like I said, it makes me wonder when it comes to these influencers, these people who are on a governmental payroll that are taxes, the money that they're taking out of your and I paycheck, they're just taking it, right? They're taking that money and they're paying these people to then puke this nonsense at us, to attempt to change and sway our thoughts and our feelings and our actions. And it's absolutely ridiculous. And are those people, do those people get qualified immunity? Are they sovereignly immune to accountability, no matter what they're saying? I'm sure, the AI Harry Sisson guy can't post, you know, go kill your neighbor or something, you know, because that wouldn't work. But as far as the absolute bullshit this thing is tweeting, I can call it a thing because it's got to be some sort of AI thing, right? Nobody's that bubbly, even if you're paying a bunch of money and you got to talk about Biden. Come on. Like,
I mean, there's not enough Adderall in the world.
Drugs really. Like, they're AI or something. But they bring these people in and they're spouting nonsense. Like, when they're out there tweeting Biden's the best president and shit, it's like, what? Like, it's some sort of like troll job, some sort of propaganda troll shit.
You feel like you would, like, if I were a governmental social media expert, I'd pull those kids aside and say, tone it down a little bit. If we want to make it believable, that you can't go on here saying Joe Biden's the greatest president ever. Nobody's going to believe that, man. Come on, tone it down. Say Joe Biden's doing a pretty good job. That would be a lie, of course, but that would be at least a more believable lie than Joe Biden is the most he's the healthiest president that we've ever seen, and his family is so great. And
anybody under 75 saying Joe Biden does anything good is suspect.
Yeah, for just sure, like, man. Especially
when you're that hairy dude's 18 or something.
Maybe,
like that.
Yeah,
you know. And yeah, there's kids like that involved in politics. I mean, you've seen the video of Vivek. What's his name? Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah.
Did I do it right? Boom.
He said it's Vivek
Ramaswamy, the Ramaswamy part. But I seen where he was doing his speech, you know, after he graduated college and stuff, and how, you know, he's been into politics and he's been one of those speakers this whole, I'm assuming he's some sort of CIA guy. They build these people up, you know, after talking to Corey. And the whole them building up Oswald, you know, not necessarily for JFK, but just to have this CIA asset and then to create this fake persona all over the U.S., have people, you know, making sure to do things and announce that, oh, yeah, well, I'm Lee Harvey Oswald. See you later, you know, to make sure it implants into people's brains. It's like, wow. I mean, since the creation of, I mean, the CIA was literally created for propaganda to murder people.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They're pretty good at it.
Right? I mean, and then they raise people, whether the people know it or unknowingly, and that's when you get into the MK Ultra stuff. I mean, raising people into this type of stuff, and some of them are completely unknowing of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you fertilize them. You give them the things that they want. If you're in media, we have Operation Mockingbird. We know the CIA was involved, financially involved. It's not debatable. They had to take that off the, you know, into a special session during the church committee hearings. We can't be talking about this out in public. Like, can we go in chambers and talk about this? And they're like, oh, I see we're getting into some sensitive stuff. Yeah. Like the fact that the CIA runs the mainstream media and has people in every single office. Yeah. That's something that we might want to know about and also might paint them in a bad light. But of course, when you know that, then that's why you don't watch the mainstream media these days, like, or read the paper. I'll tell you what though, I do look at the articles and I do read some of these headlines or the newspaper stories and from time to time, even like have CNN, I'll turn on CNN for like 10 minutes and watch it and say, like, what are these people talking about? Not because I think that they're going to give me good information, but I'm curious to know what they're lying about, and they are pathological liars. So the we know the CIA was involved in the media there. A guy like Vivek comes out of seemingly nowhere and has all this clout. I mean, listen, Shiva called him every name in the book on my show. You know, he hates that guy, so he's not a fan. I think that some of these people are I think they're manufactured, not maybe physically manufactured. Well, maybe, I don't know. We don't need to get all Alex Jones here, but at least psychologically guided into a definitely placed in positions of influence. Undoubtedly that World Economic Forum shows us that, but also just infused with this mindset that, like, you know, if you can get a guy like Vivek to believe that all the ideas that he has are actually his ideas, oh, then you just let him go, man. But somewhere along the road, someone got to these guys and said, you really should feel this way, or you really should act this way, or you should do that. It's gross, but
yeah. And I heard that Vivek was one of the World Economic Forum young global leaders or something like that. And I guess he's suing them now over that, because they just throw you on there.
That's what he said. I'm not totally convinced. I've got the master. I mean, now I don't have the tweet of him saying, so happy to be in the World Economic Forum's young global leader list. Can't wait to get to work. But Derek Bros had that printed up from Tulsi Gabbard, and he followed her out to her car at an event and asked about her membership with the World Economic Forum as a young global leader. And she gave the same answer Vivek gave, which was, listen, I'm not involved in that. They put me on the list. I didn't have anything to do with it, and I'm not a member. And he says, that's interesting, because here, and he holds up a printed version of the tweet. He goes, here's your tweet from 10 years ago, where you talked about how you were so excited, how you had been entered in, how you were part of this group and you're excited to change the world. Would you care to comment on that? And the press secretary grabs her and goes, let's go. It's all on video. So she tried to pull the same thing, except Derek Bros brought the receipts on her and she ran, literally ran away. They ran in a parking structure. So I don't trust this guy at all. I just don't.
I mean, you can't trust any of them, because we're moving into, an election season. They're starting to ramp up the COVID again. They're starting to push the masks and the experts this and the experts that. Yeah, the experts lied to you about this, and the experts lied about this, and the CIA guys lied about this, and they lied about Russia. But this time, they're pushing that. And then the whole vote harder, because that's where we're at right now, is just telling people vote harder. You got to vote harder, guys, because this time it's going to work. And there's absolutely no possible way at all that anybody is going to believe Joe Biden gets 50 million votes.
Yeah.
There's no way anybody's going to believe this. So we're in really dangerous territory here.
Yeah.
Because not only is what's coming out about the Bidens and Hunter and that whole thing, but then we're going into this election season. And with the COVID stuff, that's where they can flip on their old emergency act and put us back into a COG situation, a continuity of government type situation, a literal like dictatorship. And they had us in that back in March. It was March 14th of 2020 is when Trump stood up there and said we're going into a national emergency. Right there is activating COG.
Yeah.
And now they have it where they can just turn it on whenever they need it.
Yeah.
Whenever they feel like it.
Yeah, that's really alarming to me. FEMA has unnecessary, and they have powers granted to them by the presidency, but they're not checked by Congress or the judiciary. So they operate like the president's own private troops, in a sense. He could declare a state of emergency, put FEMA in charge. FEMA then has, through their Rex 84 plan, so they role played, what would it be like if we invaded a Central American country, let's just make one up, Nicaragua in the 80s, right? And then there was a response from the American people, and the response was really bad. What would we do? So they ran this exercise, Rex 84, and then and the readiness exercise part of it back on the home front was all those people that are mad about the thing that we're doing in Central America, a fake simulation, right? They're just running a drill. But all those people that were mad about that, our plan is to grab them and put them in concentration camps. And you go, what the fuck? That's the plan? They're like, yeah, that's the plan. That's the plan. That was the plan in 1984. We're now 40 years from that. But continuity of government and FEMA are very closely connected. And when I start to feel, when I start to see COVID coming back, round two, right? And I get very uncomfortable because it seems to me like these people are going to invent a reason to give them, you know, invent an emergency to grant themselves emergency powers. And when they have emergency powers, you're never going to give them back. They thought Trump was never going to leave the White House. I'm not worried about that. I wasn't worried about that. I'm worried about the deep state group never leaving Washington, D.C. forever.
There's no, you know, you can't empty that swamp.
No.
They keep having it investigate itself.
Yeah.
You've got Biden in a position now where he can just pardon everybody. I mean, yeah. I believe we're in uncharted territory here. You know, people would say that with Trump, but holy shit, everything with Trump, and that goes back to the propaganda and stuff. Like, the stuff they projected onto Trump for that 4 years is wild. Is wild. I mean, no, he's not innocent at everything, but there's a ton of shit that they were projecting on this guy. And then it turns out it was this other old fuck and his family that were doing this shit. Like, one was filming himself, you know, doing lines on hookers' asses and stuff. Like,
you dream of that as a political opponent. Oh, if only I could get my opponent's son on video
as a
smoking crack, I'd win for sure, right?
As a journalist,
it's a never-ending gold mine.
But nobody would touch it. They weren't allowed to touch it.
Yeah.
They got it to the point where we were banned. We were blocked from being able to use Twitter for posting a 100% accurate and true article from a 100-year-old newspaper. You know, and now we're getting into the time, if you go look at like the Douglas Mackey case,
mm-hmm.
Ricky Vaughn, mm-hmm. and them wanting to put him in prison over a meme. Right. Which, okay. And I've said this, like that meme, there was what, like 4,000 people that texted or whatever. I mean, if they were texting back, thanks for, you know, the vote. Thanks for the vote. You did right. You know, and like making these people really believe they voted. Okay. You might have something, but 10 years in prison.
Like, that's crazy.
And that makes it, you think, like the Restrict Act that we've heard about. And this being retroactive, parts of this being retroactive. Tucker, he covered the Restrict Act and how the digital purchases could be retroactively used.
Like, in what universe? Could you imagine being on the jury and they're like, we're going to bust this guy for buying all these shotgun shells? And you're like, shells aren't illegal. They're illegal now. And you go, yeah, but he bought this 5 years ago online. You're like, well, they're illegal now.
What did they have Bank of America do for January 6th? They had them dragnet the entire DC for their purchases for 6 months prior to January 6th.
Jesus.
Right? I mean, they were in that hearing in Congress, and they admitted it. They got them to admit it. Like, you guys had them had Bank of America, I think it was either U.S. Bank or Bank of America, give you the financial records of everybody in D.C., specifically relating to firearms and weapons purchases going back 6 months. That's retroactive right there.
Wow. That's got to be illegal.
Those little pieces, the little pieces in the Restrict Act that they're sitting there showing us and that we're on here going, whoa, you can't have, they're already fucking running them.
Jeez.
They're already doing this stuff right in front of us. You know, people should be outraged about Douglas Mackey they're trying to sentence him to 10 years in prison because he put up a meme, vote for Hillary, text this number. And idiots did. You know, I mean, like I said, if he was texting back confirming that their vote 100% counted, they voted the hardest they could, they don't have to worry about anything else, I could see something. But 10 years, that's ridiculous.
Especially considering they're mad about election interference, okay? Because election interference is somehow magically the most important thing in the world. Meanwhile, they interfered with the election in every way that you could possibly interfere with it, through the media, through fake stories that they put out, real stories that they didn't put out, making up stories about Russian hookers peeing on Donald Trump's hotel room, just never ending lies about all this stuff. They actually interfered with the election, put up things that block, you know, put up cardboard to block the window so you couldn't watch them, had unusual spikes in activity, acted completely suspicious, refused to, you know, had voting machines that weren't working. I'm not a like, we're going to vote our way out of this type of guy. So to me, like, voting is totally pointless. But regardless, it can't have, it's kind of like major league sports, like pro sports. You cannot allow the general public to even consider the fact that it could be rigged, because then it all goes away and you can never have anyone take it seriously again. And people are looking at the elections and they're going, why bother? Why would I, you know, so you guys can just, what?
Same with your taxes.
Oh yeah.
You should be saying, why bother? Why bother? I mean, that's one of the starts is we got to take their money away. We got to strip these guys of their cash.
Yeah.
You know, and they put us in this way, in this system where to break that, that's a tough thing to do.
Without, you know, compromising your values, you know, without, like, you can, it's like, how am I going to get out of this rat race and make a good living? It's like, .. without selling my soul too, because I could figure out ways to go out and, you know, hey, listen, if you get
without selling your soul, without losing, you know, everything you've worked for, without you know this being a detriment to your family, you know, because, like, I've seen this meme going around that people want to do a strike on the 1st of September, on that Friday, we've seen these before, and I don't know if one day is going to do it. But I always wonder, like, you know, if the majority of the population could pull it off and do it, what are they going to do? Yeah. You know, like the truckers, they showed up, they shut off bank accounts and shit. But if we ain't purchasing nothing, well, what are they going to do? They're going to come and door to door and force everybody to go to Walmart to work, or, like, you know, what are they going to do? That system's going to crumble pretty rapid.
They don't want you to ever consider the possibility that if you got enough people together, like-minded and committed to a particular thing, that you could actually have power. They don't want you to ever recognize that. So they would do whatever they could. I think it'd be better, instead of just everybody taking the day off and doing a general thing, you know, pick a corporation, or, you know, give some corporation the Bud Light treatment every time they do something that is incompatible with your values, you know, give them that treatment. But if you just blanketly say, oh, we're all not going to buy gas on the 1st, and then people are like, I still need to get to work, so I'll buy gas on the 2nd, you know what I mean? So the gas still gets bought, but we got to find a way to make it. I like the idea, though. I like the concept of all of us collectively doing or withholding attention, money, something from the system, and so that the system will pay attention to us. We just pick it.
You know, doing the corporation thing, the same people own all the corporations. You know, that's what we're getting to these days. You know, there's two funds or whatever that own everything, BlackRock and Vanguard. And, you know, when you say that, people are like, what do you mean everything? And then you go, okay, well, they own this, and this, and then that, umbrellas of this. And then there's these subs of these and this is like, yeah, that's everything basically. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, they're buying up. So you can own nothing and be happy about it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, in the end of it, it's Yeah, I just think, you know, going into the 2024 election, it was Colonel McGregor, I think he is, or is it General?
Mm-hmm. Colonel.
Colonel, you know, saying he don't think there's going to be a 2024 election because, you know, people are waking up to what the fuck's the point of this voting?
Yeah.
You know, especially if they're going to lock us down again and attempt to push this mail-in voting shit again. You know, I truly hope that even the ones that, you know, were buying into the shit the last time, this time they stand up and they join us. They say, fuck this. They've already said that. I mean, was it Jones that was showing the order forms already that they have for the boosters and hiring people to come in as consultants and stuff already, you know, in ready and in place for this fall, which feels a little early on it, but they were able to pull this off for an entire year the first time. You know, they started it in right there at the beginning of the year in 2020, and then they were able to pull it off for the whole fucking year. So I mean,
when do you start it though? I'm curious if the goal is you've got to have everybody locked down and do mail-in ballots in for November of 2024, then you have to, and you have, when do you lock everybody down? If you lock them down too early, they'll break out, right?
So yeah, that's what I'm saying. With all the stuff that's already coming out, I mean, you see the articles, CNN, the school in Atlanta, the airports, the places in New York are already coming back with the mask stuff. They're pushing the fear mongering of variant BS number two. I don't know what it is. It's bullshit number 50. And yeah, I'm like, aren't they a little early? I mean, it's like fucking August. You know, you got a whole year, dude. Like,
yeah,
unless they want everybody pissed off, unless they want to push us into the next summer, and then it's that summer that we thought the last couple summers would be, where it's a real hot summer. You know, we've seen the Black Lives, the BLM, and those hot summers, but it's coming to the point where now finally everybody seems to be pissed and getting on the same level of pissed, you know, is what it kind of seems like. But then again, I still see people running around on the trails, you know, with masks on out in the open. They're not even chemtrailing and you got a mask on. Like I could understand. If you're in the chemtrails and you want to wear your mask out, so I get that. But there ain't even trails up and you got the goddamn mask on. It's a nice
Those
day.
People aren't concerned about chemtrails.
I know.
Those people don't know anything. What do you think? I'm like, let's look back on this decade of lies. What do you think the biggest lie is? Like if we had to do like a, cause we've got the Vegas shooting, we've got Parkland, we've got COVID, we've got climate change, we have Ukraine, BLM, Maui fires, Trump, Russian collusion, Hunter Biden's laptop, Q. You know, like, God, where do you even start with this? Because some are more.
What you just named others was in the last.
That's like
6 years.
I know. I didn't even go back to like really like 2013 or 2014 or any of that.
And you know, with COVID, the last three, I keep getting the years mixed up still. Because it's just been this, you know, 2021 going into 22 was like this big, long fucking year of like the same thing, you know, like you were saying, you watch CNN and stuff in like passing and see what they're doing, you know, lying. I'll flip it on quite a bit. I'll flip back and forth. I want to see what all they're doing. The CNN, MSNBC, Fox, and they're complete opposites, and then sometimes they're like on the same page and they're pushing the same thing, and then the drug commercials come on, and then the gay drug commercials come on, and then the life insurance, and then blah blah blah.
Yeah,
I came across, you know, kind of looking into the propaganda and stuff, I came across the CNN's very first broadcast. It was like June, I want to say like June 3rd or something in 1980 or 82, and it's a 3-hour thing on YouTube, and it's like, holy shit, it's like the same stuff. Like it starts off with Ted Turner, you know, like and it's the inauguration of CNN. You know, they're standing outside the Capitol there in Atlanta. And he's like, you might see over here, we got the UN flag flying there. That's because we want everybody, you know, to our news to impact everybody around the world. And it's like this globalist thing right off the bat. And then it gets into, I can't remember the guy who they tried to assassinate him in Indiana, I believe, this black civil rights leader. And it's just, they're going back about, was there two shooters or one shooter? The FBI and the cops are, you know, they're at odds at which one was which, you know, who shot who and how many shooters there were. And it's like, God, they do that same shit now, you know? I mean, like,
nothing changed.
This, except now it's in a way, it's like this big blanket, you know, because this stuff can be pushed out in such an astroturfed way through the internet, through, you know, all the social medias, you know, you can't get away from it. Yeah. You know, and then these sleuths come in and then it starts to get picked apart. By that time, it's been blanketed. It's these ideas have already been manifested in people. And that's where you get these people who are, when you bring the actual evidence, you start to pick it apart. Like when you look at the Tennessee shooting or the Nashville shooting, this recent one a couple months ago, you start showing, man, there was no shooting at all, it looks like, on this one. I mean, I don't even think there was bullets in this one. And you start showing, you're like, look at this. I'll show you thing, you know, video after video after video, you know, example after example after example, and this cognitive dissonance of just opening your mind to look at it, go, oh, well, I'll be damned. Like, there might be something to this.
Yeah.
You know, they've already blanketed out the thoughts and the programming, you know, and it's hard to break through that type of stuff.
Yeah, it's a weird function of human beings that will take like the first story that's explained to us, like first reason given for some event. We'll go, oh, okay, well, that's the reason. And then like we'll take that off and go with that forever. And then like Tom Segura does a bit about this, talking about his dad told him that some guy, I don't know, like Tony Danza, like told him like when he was a kid, like Tony Danza's gay. And he's like, oh shit. Like, so he spent his entire life thinking that this guy was gay. And he goes, and then I met him at a party. It wasn't Tony Danza, but somebody like that. He goes, I met him at a party. He was totally, he's like with his wife and everything. He's totally not gay. He goes, and so I went and told my dad, hey, remember like 30 years ago when you told me that he was gay? He's not gay. And his dad goes, oh, okay. Well, and that was it. It was like, there was no accountability. There was no, oh my God, what a terrible mistake I made. But again, he just lived it. And then that was obviously not a big deal. It's just kind of a nothing thing. But there are people that live 30 years thinking 19 Arab hijackers with box cutters did 9/11 because that's the first story they heard. Now, if the official story were totally different and I came to those same people and said, I'm going to tell you what happened on 9/11. 19 Arab hijackers with box cutters who couldn't fly an airplane. They did all, those people go, get the fuck out of here with that dumb story. But because it was the first story and it was told to them in a moment of fear and anxiety and they needed clarity and they needed something to like get them through this, they clung on to that story and it became truth, even though if you make them talk it out again, like halfway through explaining it, they'll go, what am I even, this story doesn't make any sense. It's like, yeah, I know. Yeah, none of it does.
Yeah. And they use those traumas and stuff like that to, I mean, 9/11 is like one of the biggest one. I know it was way before 2012 and them signing that, but like the propaganda that they push from that and the trauma, just the repeat trauma.
Snuff, you know, film on a loop.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to watch 1,000 people die? No, I don't.
When they're jumping out of the buildings, let's watch every time the plane hits, if a plane hit, that's debatable. But every time the plane hits, all these people die, you know, that's instant death. And, you know, back then when they locked down the schools and stuff, because that's what they did. They didn't know what to do. So a lot of places locked down. I was in Iowa, right? I remember I was on a roof doing a roof with my dad. Some old man comes out. He's like, someone hit one of those buildings with a plane in New York. And we're like, oh yeah, okay. You know, we were thinking like this little plane hit a building in New York. And then he comes back out later. He's like, another one did it. And we're like, okay. It just keeps working. And then he comes out and he's like, one of them fell. It wasn't until like lunch when I went to lunch, like, holy shit. But yeah, they locked down the mall. They shut down the mall. They locked down the schools. And we're in Iowa. We're very far away from this.
Yeah.
But when they locked down the school, they locked those kids into their, you know, classrooms. And what do? They just sat there and played the news for fucking 8 hours.
Yeah.
Until they let these kids out. They just repeated the death, the horror, the death. And that's a lot of this generation that was so burned into their brain. Mm-hmm. And then every year afterward, because 9/11 ran how long? How long did that run on TV nonstop?
Oh, that series was on television for many, many years. Many episodes of 9/11 played on television.
I mean, it stopped everything. I mean, there was no football. There was no nothing. It stopped. I guess it was like 2 weeks before football. That's why we have the Super Bowl in February now, I believe. Yeah. It's pushed everything forward there.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, like the biggest lie in the last decade, I mean, yeah, it's tough to choose what is the biggest lie. I with COVID and the Trump era, like those lies and the Hunter Biden shit is some of the like so blatant in your face, and they get to laugh at us about it. There's going to be no accountability. Nobody's going in cuffs. Nobody's going to prison for anything. Is one of the where we're at now, they just feel like they can totally get away with anything now. I mean, when they had said Trump said I could go in Fifth Avenue and shoot a guy and my rating, you know, I'm going to go up in ratings or whatever. Like, that's like where they're at right now.
Yeah. It reminds me of back to comedy bits. The Chris Rock bit where he's talking about who lies, you know, who's the biggest liar, men or women? And then he says, men lie the most, women tell the biggest lies. So we've got a lot of these like little lies that are kind of annoying and stupid, like the Hunter Biden stuff and the P tape and the Russian collusion. I mean, they matter, of course, don't get me wrong, but you know, they don't. And then it's like the big lie is COVID. Vaccines are safe and effective. That's a lie that killed people. Remdesivir is fine. Ventilators will save you. These are murderous lies. So it's like some of it is annoying and frustrating and kind of funny, like that they're like, oh, Hunter Biden's, you know, laptop was all fake. Meanwhile, it was like you couldn't have dreamt up a better scenario if you were a candidate running against Joe Biden than to find his son's laptop that was filled with all of that stuff. And yet somehow, magically, as if they knew it was coming out, Twitter and the feds and the FBI and the feds, they all had meetings saying you're about to get some information, and it's all going to be lies and you're not allowed to play it anywhere. And it's like, so tell me again about election interference that the Republicans are guilty. I'm no red state, blue state guy, but fuck. I mean, like, this is what
the Democrats do it legally, right?
Right. Exactly.
Their corruption is legal.
Right.
People should be pissed. That's where the legalese and the justice system and these laws and these bills, this is the true spell casting, you know, because they use these things. Because the bill itself is a soft disclosure on what they're doing, right? When you look at the karma and the revelations of the method type shit, that bill, these laws, and what they've written down, and they've written it in a way that the layman can't read it. You've got to have a Black's Law Dictionary, and you got to have all these other resources out just to be able to understand, because they know, I mean, each word has different meaning, and this is the true spell casting here. This is to enslave people. You know, they're able to write these things and enslave us, literally, right in our faces.
I was always dismissive of that stuff because I didn't really understand it, and it sounded like hocus pocus nonsense when people would talk about, like, well, it's Hollywood and, you know, and the Holly branch and the casting the spells and all this stuff. And I would, well, maybe. But now I've come to understand that there's several layers to every one of these stories. There's like the official story, then there's what's going on behind the scenes, and then there's like the esoteric component of it, which is where it's happening in a certain location, or it's happening on a certain day, and it's happening at a certain time, and or there's certain language that's used, and these things that don't make it through the headlines, but if you understand that language, you can read through it and you see a different version of events. I never gave that much credit until recently. I've now come to understand that when you say that, like, they're spell casting, you're absolutely right. They are. This is part of what they do. Now, do I think that everybody that works in the mainstream media knows how it all works and is involved? No, I don't think that the people that are sitting at the nightly news anchor desk. I mean, I think they understand that they're lying, but I don't think that they understand maybe the depths of how far this goes and why it's really important that they do it a particular way, or, you know, I don't know. But I have changed my stance on a lot of this stuff. I've given that stuff a little bit more importance than I used to place on it before, because I just keep seeing it over and over again. I have to recognize that's happening in the background.
What's crazy with that stuff, I mean, the occult stuff is just, that blows my mind, is how ingrained that, once you see that stuff and understand that stuff, how ingrained it is in our everyday life. These rituals that people take, that just marriage. Going through a wedding is a ritual that is not something new. It's not made, you know, they didn't create this in the last 100 years or so. These are these rituals that have been going on for millennia. You know, same when people graduate, that whole thing being a ritual. You don't have to like believe in that stuff either, but it's, they believe in it. That's the thing.
That's it.
They believe in it, you know. I got a buddy of mine who he'll be like, I don't believe in that stuff. You know, I'm atheist. And so it's like, you don't have to believe in it, man. They believe in it. You know, when you have quotes from people like JP Morgan saying, you know, billionaires look to the stars, you know, millionaire watch the stocks. Like, there's a reason this guy's saying it. And they use that stuff in all these esoteric ways. And back to the laws and the bills. That to me is. That is their true, like, spell casting and enslavement. They write these laws, they write these bills, they write them in ways with legalese and in language that we're not supposed to understand, even though in the Constitution it says we're supposed to be able to understand it. They make these things so we can't understand it. We can, if we put in the time and put in the work and put in the research. Like I said, you go buy one of those $170 Black's Law dictionaries, it's this fucking thick, it's huge. You know, you buy one of those, you get some resources, you go to Cornell Law, you've got to put in work to be able to break their spells, basically. Yeah. You know, and their revelation of what they're doing is right there in those bills, you know, things that they're, the spying, you know, the controlling, look at the CBDC stuff. You know, that stuff is the ultimate control there, that CBDC.
Yeah.
Then you look at like a world coin, you look at these little things to get people, this propaganda to get push people into that direction. Like, this is the way to go. Here's $50 if you sign up to go give your biologics to this orb that's floating somewhere in fucking Ashy, New York, you know, and people eat it up and people buy it up and people get in line. And it's. Now, I guess some people did pay. They paid some people to stand in line for that thing, but that's to create the illusion that there's a demand for it. And then what do people do? Same as, what is it, the Ash experiment, whatever. They'll fucking line up. They'll just become one of the herd. You know, we're in, you keep hearing the word unprecedented. Everything is unprecedented. Everything is unprecedented. And that's the times we're in right now. We're in these unprecedented times, these. Who knows what's going to happen next? We thought with COVID, it was, you know, trying to gauge what was coming next and exactly how they were going to attempt to like pull this, what seemed like their last hurrah. But I mean, that was, like a lot of us have been saying, the beta test, you know, to what is coming that's going to be much, much bigger. And they keep saying it. They keep saying it very open. Bill Gates talks about it and he laughs about it. And they even show us movies like Songbird. Remember that movie that came out in 2020, right at the beginning of COVID. They somehow already have a movie finished. They're not even supposed to be doing movies. They have a movie that's finished about COVID-26 or some shit like that. You know, or is it COVID-24? Might be COVID-24 on Songbird. And here we go into COVID-24.
Yeah. It's my least favorite COVID, too, by the way.
Worst of the COVID.
I've gotten to this point now with a lot of this stuff, whether it's that esoteric stuff, you know, I've just come to understand it might not matter to me. I might not think that it's a really big deal, or I might not give it much weight. But what I've noticed is, like you said, it matters to them. And if it matters to them, there must be a reason. So I'm watching what they're doing. And when they talk about how, you know, that it's important to millionaires check their horoscope, billionaires check the astrology or check the stars, you know, to see what there's something going on. I've done enough psychedelics to know there's a world outside of the world that we live in right now. And it leads me to feel that maybe they, not the dipshits that are just doing their bidding, but the people really at the top levels, that they understand or believe they understand something that we don't know about, and that there is some sort of laws, cosmic laws that they follow, just, you know, that they have to revelation of the method and talk about this, and that there's a way of making things happen by the words that they use, and the you know, you start to, like, I didn't know about the black cube of Saturn until 8 years ago. Now that I know about it, you know what happens? I see it everywhere. Okay. Now that it's an interesting thing. So again, it might not be a big deal to me. I'm certainly not going to Mecca and doing the lap around the cube. It doesn't matter to me. You know, I go, well, I don't care. But it apparently matters to them. And their symbology will, I think, be their downfall at some point, because there's a lot of, you know, we're starting to recognize some of these symbols. We're starting to recognize what pedophile, I mean, the FBI knows what pedophile symbols and logos look like, right? That's kind of helpful to know. I live down the street from a city here in Colorado, and it's like, welcome to Lakewood. And I look at the logo, I go, it's the fucking pedophile logo. Like, so now I feel like now I speak a little bit that language. I can understand, like, I see symbols and I go, oh shit.
And
like,
you can't turn that off.
No.
Can't turn that, which is a, you can kind of understand the apprehension from people. You know, I can't remember. I think it was Alex Jones who compared, like, you know, telling people the truth and people realizing it's like the same, like, when someone gets told they have cancer, you know, they don't want to know this and they would rather look away from it. And there's this apprehension to it. And that's what we deal with every day with these people. But the once you see it, you can't shut it off. And it's like, that's the bummer part, I guess, of this whole life is once you know these things, and once you see these things, you can't unsee them. You can't just shut it off. You can't be lulled back to sleep. You could never be involved in the ash experiment if they tried to pull that on anybody. You know, no. Is that the right one? The ash one where they got them in there, and they get just an ordinary person to believe or disbelieve himself basically by getting a group of people to completely get him to believe something that is totally not true is 100% true. I mean,
like when they get in the elevator and everybody that's in the elevator is facing the wrong direction. This guy walks in there and goes, like, am I supposed to do that too? So they know us better than we know ourselves. Let's be honest, you know, with the studies that they've done.
I just feel like those of us that are that have woken to this and can't look away from it, I don't think would fall for such bullshit.
No.
I think about that a lot. You know, it's like, there's no way you could put me in a fucking room and have everybody point at a squiggly line that that's the straight line and make me believe that that fucking squiggly line's straight. How the that's impossible.
No, especially but it's,
I know what it is.
It's a great sorting mechanism though for them. They go, you're the guy that understands that this is not correct and you have confidence in your ability. So you're in a different category. Let's put you over here. We may need you. All you people that are saying that the squiggly line is the straight line, we're going to put you. You passed the test as well. You both passed the test. It's just there's different outcomes. We're going to sort you into different groups. You people are sheeples. We're going to need you when we need to get the population enraged. You're dumb. You'll believe anything. We'll just do that. You, on the other hand, we might have a mission for you. You know, like you can see that's through true. The bullshit. This is great. This is what we're looking for.
So. Gotcha. Either way.
Yep.
Gotcha. Either way. And that makes me think of those the tag type stuff. I keep bringing this up the last couple of weeks, the tag, you know, the talented and gifted, these programs they have in school where they are obviously looking for people, you know, and that they're doing it through the school. And then you find out like in the last what decade, China's been given how much money to the public schools. They're funding the public schools now. And they continue these same type of programs. Same with, you know, like, back when I was in school, they had the Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Presidential Fitness Challenge, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they were looking for super soldiers or some shit, you know? They had everybody's, how fast your mile was, how many push-ups you can do, how fast you can do this. They had this categorized on every kid in the U.S. educational system.
I never even thought about this. Oh my God, what a data collection grab they had.
Like the SATs, the ASVABs, all those tests are data sets. The presidential fitness is data sets. The tag programs is data sets. These were constantly being surveilled. We're constantly being put into these brackets. Our entire life. Not only are we born immediately into trauma, we are born into trauma. On average, unless you're a holistic, you know, family and you get, you know, water birth in the dark, you know, and with the candles and stuff, born into the medical system, you're born straight into trauma. And then from there, you're nothing but a data set. And then when you get to an age where you sign a W-2 form or whatever, because you got your first job at Burger King, now you've just acknowledge that you are a living being, that you are alive, and you are willing to participate in this tax scheme.
Yeah. I mean, like, stop this planet, man. I want to get off. I'm tired of this shit. And
it's how do we break this system? Because my thing is, you know, everybody keeps talking about, like, we got to start our own thing. You know, who's going to reset it? Do they reset it or do we reset it? Right? Yeah. Because the reset is inevitable here. We hate the way this system is. They hate the way we are.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't give a shit. But like, if the system's reset, my biggest fear is like, it would just end up eventually back into the same system. You know, because there'd be these people, like this human nature, these people who want this power, who want to be in control, and then it would just into this cycle. It's how do we break that part? You know,
it's tough, man. I don't think there's any easy answers for that. I think the first step is awareness, though, right? You've got to kind of be aware. Like, if you're an alcoholic, right? They say the first step is acknowledging you have a problem. We've got a bunch of people in the United States that are like, "Oh, everything's fine. No, we're good. We're good." Well, we're not good. Things are broken. Things are falling off, and you guys are part of the problem. If you can't recognize that this is happening, then you're definitely going to be part of the problem. Hey, man, where's the best place for people to find you to support your work and get into all the shit you're doing?
Real easy. RainedOutRankcast.com. You go there. The videos are there. The latest episodes. Nah, I'm a couple weeks behind on my episodes. That's the first I've been like that in 3+ years. But I've been on AM Wake Up pretty much every morning for the moment. I don't know how long that's going to last because I'm off work. We'll see how long that lasts. I'm having a good time doing that. It's been fun over there with Steve.
Yeah, he's the best.
That's where you can find me. like I said, rainedoutrantcast.com. You can click on the store, buy some t-shirts, you know, help out. Go to buymeacoffee.com/rainedoutrantcast. Help me out there.
Yep.
But if you want to see me, AM Wake Up's the spot now. Every Sunday I have my show, the Rained Out Rantcast Live. Usually run it on Rumble only.
Right on. Hey, get out there and support Chris's work, man. If you got a couple extra bucks, throw it his way. He's good. He's a good dude. He's good for it. That's Chris. Go catch Rained Out Rantcast wherever you find it. Also, if you like this episode, take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. We certainly do appreciate that. If you want to find me, the website's theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at macroaggressions. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.